This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line. Hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. We say hello to our viewers on Samsung TV Plus. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Pritchard, VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first round pick and a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. The Buff's on a bye week here, Pritch, so we don't have to...
Needed it.
Needed it bad?
Yes, absolutely.
Just so we wouldn't talk about Stanford.
Sure.
Bye week.
I know. Thank you.
It's a tough Friday night last week.
Oh,
I was staying up late for that game, too. I lost sleep for that.
Oh, man.
It was tough. Yeah.
But they made number 13 some money for Stanford.
Yeah, they did. I was going to say, in a couple years when he's draft eligible.
Oh, man.
I was like, I'd never heard of this kid before. This guy might be Larry Fitzgerald reincarnated. Man, like, what's going on? But let's get back to the NFL. We'll talk some college football later on this hour. Make sure you stick around for that. But I want to talk about the game at Arrowhead Stadium. Chargers at the Chiefs. Kansas City right now a 5.5-point favorite. Total is at 48. And my instincts tell me this is typically the spot where the Chargers play the Chiefs tough, lose the game by 3 because of some boneheaded decision in the fourth quarter, and KC prevails. Is that how you guys see this game? Is this kind of a closer than the market expects, or are we just kind of totally off the Chargers after what we saw last Monday night?
Well, I'm not sure you can lay 5.5 with Kansas City, right? Because to your point, they do play well in Kansas City. It seems to always be come down to the final possession of the game and somebody going for two, somebody deciding to kick a field goal, go fourth down, something like that. So I'm probably not going to get involved in this game. They're almost unwatchable, the Chargers. That game on Monday night was horrific.
Yeah,
Every play there was a penalty.
Yeah,
something's missing with this offense. Like, you know, you used to think they get the ball back down 3 with 3 minutes, they're going to at least tie the game. And you know, they just don't. They just can't get it done. So I don't have a good enough feel of the Chargers, an underachieving team, to talk about what you say about Jacksonville. I'll pass. I wonder if people will use, we'll get into a survivor talk later. I wonder if people, this is a tough week if you don't want to take Seattle where you want to go. I think the Chiefs, if they're still alive, might be a consideration. Granted, you have Philly for Christmas.
Yeah, how many people still have Chiefs available, though, too? I mean,
The one that people don't have available are San Francisco and Buffalo are the lowest two right now. And so, you know, that's why I think Seattle's going to be like 1,200 entries this week.
Oh, my God.
You're still in, right?
We already use the Chiefs, too. The thing about the Chargers, and I saw it coming, you know, they play right into the wheelhouse of the Cowboys. Like, they're a finesse team. They're not a grinded out physical football team. Justin Herbert's being questioned now. Is he clutch? Is he a good quarterback? He's a great quarterback. Don't make no mistake about that. But was he off last week? Yeah, he was. The Chargers do play the Chiefs tight, whether it's in LA or even in Kansas City. I think the familiarity, the matchups, evens all that out. I like the points with the Chargers. Like, are they falling apart? Because the Chiefs are the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to still do what they're doing. You got a Kelce problem, right? You got a Mahomes problem. Defensively, you got a Chris Jones problem. Those are all individuals. I think the Chargers, they match up very well against all those individuals. It's just, can they play consistent, or can they play good enough football for 60 minutes? You're right, Femi. Staley's going to mess it up at some point.
Yep.
But is he going to mess it up to the tune of not being able to get inside this number, though? You know, and that's how I look at the game. I don't know if the Chiefs can run away from the Chargers. That's why I'm interested in taking the points with the Chargers on the road.
Yeah. If I had to bet it, I'd take the points as well. I'd be lockstep with you right there, Pritch, just because Kansas City hasn't played like a team that wants to go ahead and win by margin. Like, they're led by their defense. Their defense has been the elite unit on this Chiefs off. The offense is just kind of doing just enough is what it feels like. And Mahomes is a great enough quarterback to where, obviously, like, you don't want to totally write this offense off, but it hasn't been impressive through 6 weeks of the season to where, I would obviously love 6 more than 5.5.
Right.
Anybody would.
Right.
But I think that's what's kind of hanging me up on this. Like, I don't know if I want to take 5.5, but if I had to take it, we'll see and monitor this all throughout the week, and maybe we get that 6. But it looks like we're probably heading the other way before we head up north to 6, though, because I see a 5 on the board as well at a prominent off-the-grid sportsbook. So I think this might be end up a lot of people interested in the Chargers here getting more than a field goal in a game that tends to be a little bit closer than the market thinks. How about the game in Los Angeles, though? The Rams hosting the Steelers, Pittsburgh coming off of the bye. But we saw yesterday TJ Watt DNP at practice with a heel injury, must have suffered it during the Wednesday practice. That has now moved the market to 3.5s now popping up after the market went down to 3 here. Total sitting at 44. How do you guys break this down with potentially TJ Watt? I'm sure we'll learn later on this afternoon whether he's good to go or not, or maybe we take this into the weekend.
I laid 3 here. I think this Rams offense is very good. And I think Pittsburgh is smoke and mirrors. I really do. This is the year Tomlin doesn't get to 500, I think. I just I go back to the game in Houston where I thought they were going to physically dominate, and they didn't. It took two defensive scores really to beat Cleveland on a Monday night. I don't know what Harbaugh was doing. He gave them that game. I thought that Baltimore should have won the game in Pittsburgh. I think that the Rams are going to be able to put up points in this game, and I don't think that this Pittsburgh offense can stay with them, Pritch.
Yeah, great points, because it's a young offense, and they're not improving. And they're supposed to be, though. This offense is supposed to be taking leaps forward, and that's why Canada's under fire, right? Like, what's going on? Wait a minute, hold up. You got all this talent, all these young players, and you can't improve? You got one of the worst offenses in the National Football League. Now, they're physical. And they'll bring that on the road. And I think the heel situation, you can pad up your footwear, Femi, and you know you can get through the heel situation, I think, if it's a bruised heel or something like that. But you know, for TJ Watt. But in terms of the offense, where is that output going to come from? What's going to happen? I mean, are they magically in this situation with extra time going to just improve mightily? And that's hard to do. And that's hard to expect, too. So I don't know about laying it with the Rams. I've looked at some teasers with Steelers, but I can't get there because
you used the Rams last week in Survivor.
Yeah. And so, but the Rams, they're a one-off. You know, that's it. Leave them alone.
You don't buy them at all.
No.
I think they're much better than we thought they were going to be.
They are better than what we thought they were going to be. I thought they were going to tank because they don't have a quarterback. They haven't drafted a quarterback since Goff, right? And then this is the last year of Stafford. I mean, what's the end game? What's the next plan for this organization? And so I don't know if they even care about that. McVay having a baby soon. So I think their focus is different. But they're playing better than a lot of people have expected them to play.
Yeah, I believe Jared Goff is their last first round pick.
Right, 2016 or something like that.
2016.
Right?
That's crazy to say out loud. We're going to be going opposite here, Mike Palm.
What?
I took the 3.5 with Pittsburgh.
We're not opposite. You have a different number.
Well, I guess
than
I have a different number. Yeah. well, maybe it lands 3, and you just get your money back, and then I'll win. But yeah, I took 3.5 here. It sounds like also the report on TJ Watt, Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for ESPN, said that the heel issue that popped up yesterday was minor, is what TJ Watt said. So I guess keep that in mind. That sounds like TJ Watt should be good to go, like Pritch mentioned. Maybe just pad that thing up and he'll be good. But the reason why I took the 3.5, though, is that the Steelers offense has been horrific. 15.8 points per game will tell you that. But I also think that this is a step down in competition in terms of the defense that they will face on Sunday. They started the year off with the gauntlet of gauntlets. Niners, Browns was their first 2 weeks. Those defenses have made everyone look pretty bad this season. And then after that, they play Baltimore's defense, which they don't get much of a pass rush, but Mike McDonald has done a really good job there with that unit. Baltimore's unit has been pretty good. The Raiders' defense has been frisky as well. Like, they played tougher defenses. Now with the bye week, you hope that Matt Canada, I know they've been chanting to fire his name over at the Pittsburgh Penguins games. You hope that he kind of gets Kenny Pickett on the same page. We get it dialed in. Deontay Johnson should be back now coming off of the IR. He hasn't played since messing up his hamstring in week 1. I think a healthy Steelers offense now playing a lesser defense provides Pittsburgh to have a little bit of a buy low spot offensively. And if they can get into the 21-24 range, I think that they can cover this number, because I still have a lot of respect for TJ Watt and that front against the Rams O-line that's a little shaky, to say the least.
I also think this is a surface game, and that the Steelers predominantly play on grass. And the North, they play on grass. They played in a dome in here in Las Vegas on grass. And this is a turf field at SoFi. I think this is, you know, you get these teams that play 75% of their games on one surface and have to go to the other. I think that's also a factor.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, I think it can really play into that. Defensively, you know, TJ Watt's presence on the field helps out everything. He's got to be on the field. He will be on the field, like I mentioned earlier. So the Rams, I mean, if this is a low scoring affair, that's why I've looked at teasers, because the bulk of the NFL, all these teams, everything's tight. Scoring is tight. And therefore, I mean, I don't like what the offense is presenting themselves with right now with the Steelers. But if I got the benefit of getting extra points here, I'm looking at that. That's the only angle I'm seeing in this game.
And if all else fails for this Pittsburgh offense, TJ Watt will just score a touchdown. He seems to do that as well. And just from a crowd standpoint, I mean, what are we thinking? 75% Steeler fans on Sunday? I mean, we know there's Steelers Nation is everywhere. So the terrible towels will be out in full force at SoFi Stadium. Real quick, want to squeeze this game in. We got a minute left. Packers Broncos. Green Bay coming off the bye, a 1-point favorite, total 45. Your guys' guess is as good as mine as to what's going to happen in this one.
I'm not sure I'll see any part of this game live, even if there's three other games going or whatever. I don't know. You would think that this would help LaFleur with the bye, with the inexperienced quarterback. I don't know what to say about the Broncos or where they're going. This is the lost cause.
I had to check in with sources. I have sources in Colorado.
Yeah.
Like, is this team tanking? And the consensus is, it appears that way. You know, nobody wants to come out and say it, but it appears like this team is going the other way, making a business decision with new owners and perhaps a new GM as well.
How about that? So maybe table that for later and keep that in the back of your mind. Denver Broncos, perhaps in the Drake May, Caleb Williams sweepstakes to go ahead and turn this thing forward. On the other side, we're going to try to figure out who the hell is going to win the NFC South. Falcons, Bucks next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of the year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120, a deal so good it should almost be illegal, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Sports Equinox. We always talk about how it's a great time to be alive and a great time to be a better. No better time than maybe the month of October bleeding into November with all the sports coming back. NBA's coming back on Tuesday. NHL's off and running. It's a great time to be alive. Femi Abbefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network.
Is there any video on that lottery they did that Patrick and Amal won?
Was there a frozen envelope?
They took the Bengals, by the way.
They took
the Bengals. Yeah,
40-1.
Yeah.
40-1.
Wow.
I mean, I see where they're coming from. That wouldn't have been my pick, but it's like, hey, maybe you're buying low on a guy like Joe Burrow, who, other than Tom Brady, has been the only guy to be able to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. So maybe that's the thought process there.
I thought Maher would get Detroit, would convince Amal. But I know Amal was talking before they ever won this about Cincinnati futures and with Burrow getting healthy and they could still win the division and looking at that stuff. So good luck to them.
Yeah. Good luck to them is 100% there. Lions, I don't know if I can get there. A head coach who's never been in the playoffs, I'm not sure you go from never being in the playoffs to winning the Super Bowl.
But it's that 40-minute halftime.
it'll shake you up. It'll shake you up, man. Yes, Usher's performing and stuff. And you don't know what's going on.
Man, I'm telling you. Seriously, you got a routine. You guys clown a little bit, but you got a routine.
What are you talking about? We're not clowning.
We say it's real.
No, it is real.
Reveal a lot on this show.
I do. You get in that routine, you get in that halftime, you're like, wait a minute, we're supposed to be taking the field, and all of a sudden you're not. Then what do you do?
I want to ask you, Pritch, and we get more into this thrilling matchup between your former team, the Falcons, and the Baker Mayfields. But we talked about Carr and him with Olave.
Yeah.
Daboll and Tyrod Taylor at hat. Was it necessary for him to berate him on the sidelines? They're headed to the locker room. It's you know, and the situation is, you know, obviously they run the ball with 14 seconds and then on first and goal from the one and then don't get in. He comes out and says it was a play action. We told him we needed to pass the audible tool run. He saw some, is all that stuff really necessary to be done in the public eye?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, you're not conscious of the public eye when you're fuming. And a lot of things happen. Like, you see things on the sideline happen in interaction between players. In reality, that happens all the time. You know, coaches rip up players all the time at practice, but there's no media there. Mm-hmm. So Daboll and that interaction with Tyrod and all this stuff, that's just normal. But now you're not conscious of the fact that there's 20 cameras in the stadium picking up everything, right? So you wish you could have those moments back, but there's no cooling off period. The only cooling off period you have is after the game. When you're in the locker room, okay, now we can meet the media. So it's a constant reminder as players, as coaches, that whatever you do and whatever emotion you have on the sideline or in the game, it's going to be picked up. And you got to be conscious of that if you can. But if you're fuming and if you lose it, then you're not conscious of that.
We had this discussion, and Michael Lombardi and I, on the GM Shuffle podcast. We encourage everyone, of course, to go ahead and get it wherever they get their podcasts. But, and I brought the point about Daboll and, like, hey, like, he's been wearing his emotions on his sleeves this season. It wasn't just the Sunday night game. Think about the Monday night game when he's throwing the iPad and kind of rolls his eyes, walking away from Daniel Jones. It's like, buddy, like, you got to kind of take it down a couple notches here. Like, just like, you can have those frustrations, and I'm sure he does. Like, he's coming from a winning program in Buffalo. Last year they won, make the playoffs, and now it's 1-6 or 1-5 or whatever they are, one of the worst teams in the league. So clearly this is something that's been frustrating him, but it's like, you kind of have to, like, rein it in a little. Well, to be able, he couldn't even do the halftime interview in Sunday Night Football, which I thought was wild.
Yeah, you're not safe even in the press box, because what it was, Ken Dorsey?
Yeah.
When he exploded.
I was smashing the Surface tablet, man.
Like, you can't escape from cameras. I don't care. They got side pylon cameras now. They got, who knows what other cameras they have in there, right? But when you lose it all the way. And there's no getting it back.
Did you ever have a quarterback do that to you on the field?
I'm sure I have, Mike. I'm trying to remember a quarterback doing that.
We block out those memories.
Yeah, no, not to that, that level.
And you remember.
Yeah,
you would remember that incident, like, if it was that.
Right. I mean, frustration is frustration, but not to that level where hold up now. I'm a grown man, right? Yeah. But I think, you know, if you're a strong quarterback and it's understood that way within the locker room, then yeah, you can Dan Marino some people. I've seen Dan Marino threw a pick and a receiver ran the wrong route. Instead of chasing after the pick, he started running and pointing towards the receiver that you did the wrong route. I mean, but Dan Marino can do that, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think there's a hierarchy standpoint in that regard that is respected, though, from players.
And it has to do with the experience and success of the quarterback.
Right.
How long did the receiver? I mean, it wasn't Duper Clayton, was it, that he was doing that too?
No, it wasn't one of those guys, although they were. Duper was still playing at the time. Yeah. But it wasn't one of those guys.
The Marx brothers.
Yeah,
Mark Duper, Mark Clayton. Derek Carr doesn't have those bona fides.
No.
Though, so I'm
not
like,
at
I'm
all.
Like,
no.
I'm it's like, outrageous. What are you doing? My advice to Derek Carr would be, make sure that your side of the street is clean before you start berating other people there. But I digress. Let's get to that division, though, because the Saints looked bad yesterday on Thursday Night Football. They were the preseason favorite to win it. Now we have this matchup, which from a division standpoint is really important, between the Falcons and the Buccaneers. Might be a sight for sore eyes, but an important matchup nonetheless. Tampa's a 2.5-point favorite. Total is at 37. This has been bet heavily toward the under. And when you look at the odds to win the division, Bucs and Falcons right now, the two kind of co-favorites or so, but it's kind of like a tri-favorite situation with New Orleans in the mix. I mean, this is a big game here. How do you see you got this thing playing out here? At least the winner of this will kind of grab control of this division through 7 weeks.
I'm not going to play this game. I lean under. I think this division race is really intriguing because there's, you know, who's the best quarterback in this division?
I don't even want to answer.
Is Arthur Smith the best head coach? He was the best offensive coordinator at one time, right? Mm-hmm. You could argue there's been coaches that this division has coaches that, and then throw Carolina. They're not there talent wise to win it. But of the other three, I mean, they're coaches that were successful as coordinators, not necessarily as head coaches. Like on any given week, these games are all going to be 2.5 when they play each other based on the home field. Right. They're like all you rate them all out power ratings the same. So I lean to the Falcons to win the division. I actually do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they're the most talented team. And yet the quarterback holds me back because can he do anything?
Right.
And we haven't really seen it. I thought that was a bad home loss last week.
It was
the game you got to win
against
the Commanders. So. Yep. I won't play this game. 37's a little low, but this is going to be another game of field goals and teams driving the ball between the 20s.
I think the only reason why, because of that, you know, in the tightness of scoring, I'm interested in teasing. And I'm glad you said what you stated it perfectly, Mike, because Arthur Smith is a play caller. He has yet to prove to people that he's a head coach because a head coach would make decisions that's going to benefit the team. Like, your preference as a play caller might be Ritter, but you're frustrated, right? I mean, you're grabbing your hair, you're grabbing your hat, you're throwing things, you're frustrated because this quarterback throws picks after pick after pick in the second half and costs you a game. Now, he does enough good things to, okay, maybe I can change that, right? And we all think that. I think as coaches, probably more so than anything else, well, I can change that. I can be more disciplined. I can call it this way. Or you just are not familiar with Heinicke, right? You have Heinicke. Was that your guy or was that the front office? Did they bring him in for assurances? You would love to have Lamar Jackson. But Arthur Blank said, nope, we're not going to do that, right?
He did that for the good of the league, though.
Yeah, he kind of took one.
Yeah, the collusion part. The collusion good of the league. Yeah, the collusion good of the league.
Good of the owners. The good of the owners.
Good for the owners.
The memo is sent out.
Let's keep those costs down, fellas. Yeah. But Arthur Smith, I mean, how does he get past being a play caller and becoming a head coach? Because I think the team is watching this. Atlanta knows they're more talented. And they're talented enough to win a division. It's just what changes are going to be made along the way to help us do that.
If you had the choice, and I could tell you, you would know this. You can play Heinicke now and win the division, and you're probably going to be out hosting a home playoff game the first round. You're not going to win the NFC.
Right.
Or is there enough upside to continue to play Ritter that he can develop for the future? Would you take the one division right now, or would you take the upside possibly in the future?
Well, as a player, I'd take the division
right now
because that's going to help me out. That's going to help my dollars. That's going to help my career. But, you know, if you're...
How about as a head coach?
As a head coach, you might be thinking the development of a quarterback because you passed up on Lamar Jackson for this situation. And so where else are you going to turn to solidify that position? You know, he might be up against it. He has to develop Ritter, but I just don't know how he does that without being increasingly more frustrated.
Yeah, and then the skill position guys frustrated among them as well, whether it's Drake London or the Kyle Pitts of the world. Good luck, Falcons. We'll talk more NFL on the other side. Let's talk some contests when we come back here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook, this season new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here on this Football Friday. Doing a little triple option, which has been a lot of fun so far through the show. If you miss any portion of our show, including our interview with Zach Cohen, VSiN betting analyst, check out all his work at VSiN.com. Make sure that you check out the Lombardi Line in podcast form. You subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. You can check all of it out in on demand. But, I was thinking during the break here is that, Pritch, you brought up a good point about this Atlanta Falcons side being a great teaser leg this Sunday. And how about maybe we do like a Mike Pritchard syndicate teaser, Seahawks Falcons,
well,
as a potential teaser. Get Seattle down to 1.5. You can tease the Falcons up to +8.5. I mean, that sounds
Broncos
good.
Too.
Maybe do a three-leg teaser.
So last year and the year before, my former team teaser was pretty darn good, Femi.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I think the first year it was 3-1. And then last year I did well with the 2. But this year has kind of been different because, mm-hmm. you know, finding situations where all three teams are comfortable from a teaser standpoint has not been easy. But this could be a week to kind of dust that bad boy off, though, because Seattle, I mean, there's nothing wrong with teasing them down. And then Denver against a team in Green Bay that's trying to find themselves. Now, Denver is horrible. So I'm taking a chance there, you know, and so, yeah. And then you got Atlanta. You know, I think Tampa is scrappy, but Atlanta is good enough. For certainly from a teaser standpoint,
yeah,
it's attractive.
Yeah, I'm like, how does Tampa win this by double digits? I mean, I guess the game could land 9 mm-hmm. and you lose that teaser leg, yeah. but it feels like this is going to be a one possession game, whichever yeah. team wins it. So getting those 8.5 points in a total with 37, those are valuable points to go ahead.
You might have just talked me into a former team teaser.
I'm just saying.
You didn't tease the Broncos too? Come on.
I can't get there with Denver.
Stop it. Yeah, I know.
Let's just keep it to the birds. We'll just keep it to the birds.
To the
Falcons and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I think that's a solid teaser leg.
But the reason why I did it too was because obviously the plus 160 with the 3 leg. Denver is kind of a deterrent at this point.
Speaking of Pritch, though, I think you might be the only person that's employed a Veasan that's still alive in Survivor.
No,
Mitch and Paul.
Mitch and Paul? Oh, okay. Mitch and Paul.
I think they both have two.
Okay.
Two entries. Yeah. But they started with more than one. Yeah.
Started with more, but they have two. They're still in it, though.
So there's 10 people that still have their original 10 entries left,
too.
Damn.
Out of the 1,800.
Oh, wow.
If you go through the chart, you can figure that out.
Yeah, that's good for them.
What are the entries worth now at this point? Do we have the facts and figures on that?
Well, it'd be like 5,200, maybe 50, okay. something like
I
that.
I saw that. Yeah.
All right. Well, Pritch, week 7's here.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, obviously it's Seattle. I mean, it's not, you're not hiding anything at this point. You're starting to map it out, though. And there was discussion because I am with the partner. And so it's like, okay, Detroit is going to be the play. You know that already. We know that kind of thing for Thanksgiving. But it's trying to survive, though, right? And so mapping it out right now is becoming difficult because you're starting to look at next week.
Have you used the Dolphins?
Yeah, we have. I mean, the reason why we're still in it.
Like, it's because you use the Dolphins?
Washington, Buffalo, Kansas City, San Francisco, Miami, Rams, and perhaps Seattle here coming up.
Okay. All right.
So
any discussion of getting frisky and rolling the dice, or is it just kind of still try to hit fairways and go about it that
well,
way?
Well, with one entry, yeah, that's getting frisky is probably out the thought process.
Mm. Have you used the Chargers yet? No, right?
No.
So next week you could use the Chargers on the Sunday night game against the Bears,
right? Starting to map it out.
Fade Tyson Bagent.
Yeah. Well, you don't know. Fields could be. How long is he out? Do we know with the thumb?
I don't think we know, but I mean, they ruled him out pretty early this week. Yeah. So I don't know if things are going well.
It's dislocated, so there could be some torn ligaments. He could be out for a while.
Yeah. Because the grip strength is the issue right now there. Which, if you're a quarterback, it feels like you'd need to grip the football. But who am I? I'm not an expert.
Have you used the Browns yet?
No.
So, and then the following week, Cardinals at Browns. I'm just trying to look at Pritch's path to get to Thanksgiving. Yeah.
No,
right?
There's a path.
Right?
There's a path. Mapping it out. There's a path.
Can we make a graphic? Pritch's path? They make some sort of graphic Pritch's for this
path. Yeah,
no. From Rancho High School to Veasan. Pritch's path.
Hey, Northtown to the top. Shout out to it. Moving on up. Let him know.
Well, sometimes you got to let him know.
I was actually, it's funny that you mentioned the Browns. I was going to ask you if you wanted to use the Browns on Sunday against the Colts and roll the dice.
That might be in the discussion.
That's interesting.
But yeah.
For people that have multiple entries, you put some on Seattle, the obvious choice, and some somewhere else and hope Seattle loses.
Yeah.
And the field gets drastically shrunk down, right?
Right. And having, you know, the contest show last year, it's like we saw that play out. Like, how many people had all these entries and the thought process of what do you do with all these entries, right? And do you get frisky at times? Do you take a chance? When do you deviate from the perceived crowd, right? I tend to agree with Mike here in terms of there's going to be a lot of people at the end, unlike last year. Last year, I thought there was going to be one person to take it all, to be honest with you.
It was ended up two.
It was close.
I wanted to see it, right? And so I think there's going to be a bulk of people that probably map things out. And because scoring is tight, because the NFL is, it is unpredictable, but then it really isn't at times, I think. And so we could see a number of people there towards the end.
It just feels like we have so many bad teams to where, like, you can pick on a lot of these teams and not feel like you're ever backed into a corner one week. Now, maybe this week you feel like you're kind of backed into the Seattle corner among other people here. But I mean, down the road, I'm like, I just feel like there's going to be even bigger point spreads once we realize post trade deadline what some of these teams' intentions are for the rest of the season. Like, it wouldn't shock me if we start regularly seeing double digit point spreads to where it's like, all right, well, this team, we clearly know they're not incentivized to win the football game.
Right. One of the things I'm conscious of, though, Femi, is like, I mean, the market might say, or the point spread might be this, but our team's improving, though.
Yeah.
Right. And our team's starting to turn the corner and start to play. And the market just hasn't caught up with that. I mean, that I think we saw the carnage from that last year.
Mm-hmm. Carolina could be one of those teams. You get a new play caller, Frank Reich, giving up play calls. Maybe the Panthers, funny to say out loud because they're 0-6, maybe they turn the corner post-bye week right now, sitting on the bye, so it's, they can't lose this
it's
week.
Tough to straight fade him. I mean, in a couple weeks, Houston at Carolina. The look ahead there is 3. I mean, that's a pretty thin number. Then they play the Bears on a Thursday night. I mean, that's your one shot to use the Bears. Maybe if Fields is back.
Talk about rolling
I don't
the dice.
I don't know, but I just I think if you can get to Thanksgiving,
yeah,
that's going to be like a demarcation point to get to Thanksgiving, right. And that's what you have to focus on right now.
We're rooting for you.
Okay.
We're knocking on wood. Hopefully Seattle goes and takes care of business on Sunday, because if they do not, I'm not sure how many people are going to be left in Circa Survivor after week number 7. Let's go to the Meadowlands, though, while we have a little bit of time here. The Washington Commanders are 2.5-point favorites. The total sitting at 37.5. Another game where wind could be a problem over there in the Meadowlands. I have a bet in this game. I laid 2.5 with Washington. I can't get it there with the Giants whatsoever, even though that you don't really want to back Sam Howell as a road favorite.
Well, you could back him as a road dog last week, and he won the game.
He did win the game.
Quietly, he's having a decent year.
Not bad.
Right? I mean, we haven't
first-time starter.
We haven't really talked about it, but right? He's been more competent than a lot of these guys. Mm-hmm.
He's been getting killed back there.
Yeah, and he can run a little bit, you know. He has to run for his life, but but he can run the ball a little bit too here. What do you make of this Giants team? I mean, they had like the perfect formula to go in there and beat Buffalo and just didn't get it done at the 1-yard line to end both halves. Terod survived the whole game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a concern, right? Would he get knocked out as well?
My concern.
So, yeah, I like the Commanders here in this spot, too.
And I think we're going to see Tyrod Taylor once again there. Daniel Jones limited in practice, but Brian Daboll did not say that he was cleared for contact. Behind that offensive line, I think you'd need to be cleared for contact to go ahead and play a football game. So
can I give you guys something to think about, though?
Okay.
Jack Del Rio. As a defense coordinator.
Your sworn enemy.
I mean, they're 29th to 32 teams in points allowed right now. With that personnel,
this is again. Know your audience.
Divisional game.
You're protecting the enemy by blaming Del Rio for everything.
I
mean,
I was down on Del Rio before Eric even got
here
there.
Here we go.
Yeah.
We go.
Now,
chopping wood. Well, they were chopping the wood.
As assistant head coach Ron Rivera getting fired. Sure, why not? but Del Rio wouldn't be there though. But Del Rio has been horrible. Prior to Eric, he's going to be horrible after Eric.
But can the Giants take advantage of it? Atlanta couldn't really take advantage of it last week, right?
It's only 2.5. Yeah. And the thing about it is, you know, is Daniel Jones, you guys, for sure he's not going to play?
I'm not.
He hasn't been cleared for contact, so I would. It leans like limited. He's not
okay, I mean, with the neck, you're going to be cautious.
I would start Tyrod Taylor.
Sure.
Tyrod.
Yeah.
No, I would.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I think he gives you a better chance to win.
Probably. But I just. Giving up that many points defensively, I think any team's in the game.
Hopefully they're not, because I bet the Commanders. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets or where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard. It's been a lot of fun here on this Triple Option Friday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you once again to Zach Cohen, who joined us in the first hour. Check out all of Zach's work on Twitter at Betting on X. And then you can find him at VSiN.com, where he is a betting analyst here for us at VSiN. Writes terrific work in college football. Speaking of which, here with college football coming up tomorrow, we haven't really broken down the Penn State-Ohio State game. We got Zach thoughts on it, I should say, earlier in hour number one. But what do you guys think happens in Columbus right now? The Buckeyes, 4.5-point favorites, total at 45.5.
I buy the under, Femi. I mean, it's number one versus number two yards per play allowed these two defenses, yeah, right? And I think this game is going to be more like Notre Dame, Ohio State, which had a total of 31 points scored. Penn State's toughest opponent was Iowa, and it was only one team that scored, but that was 31 points scored. You're looking at a total around 45.5, 46. I played it under, not as big as I played Tennessee, Alabama under. I could see you making arguments for both teams.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to take Penn State, though, because of Franklin's history.
Mm. When you say history, you meaning just...
His history against top 10 teams on the road, he never won. He's 1-7 or 1-8 against Ohio State. He's great covering against all these weaker opponents. He covers as a favorite, but he hasn't. And they've blown leads consistently. Remember, they go into the fourth quarter. They had a 10-point lead, a 7-point lead, and they just fall apart against Ohio State. Now, I'm not particularly impressed with Ohio State.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Penn State doesn't have the more talented team. I'm not sure they don't have the better quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I know from an offensive standpoint, Penn State wanted to evolve, yep, and they have, right? And they are talented, very talented. And that's why I asked you about Franklin, because I was curious about your thoughts on that. Because Day, on the other side, too, has been underwhelming at times.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And it's like, okay, this is a big game for these kids. And, you know, Ohio State having big games on their schedule each and every year. Like, you know which ones they are, right? Penn State, it's like each and every game now is becoming bigger and bigger because they're ranked and where they are and the prospects of getting to the playoff and all that. I think Penn State gets up for this one. Mm. I really do. And now... I understand what you're saying about Franklin, but they have evolved offensively, and I think they get up for this big game.
I don't like the fact that Ohio State has not been effective running the ball. This is the worst rush offense they've had in like 15 years, right, in terms of the statistics of it. So, you know, maybe it's a first half bet on Penn State. Maybe that's what you look at.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever bet the side in this game because I hate both coaches. Mm-hmm. Not personally. I don't know.
I hate Ryan Day.
I don't know. I think he's a fraud.
Really?
I think he's a fraud. His teams don't get up for the when they play like talent like teams that are similar to them, he always underwhelms. Other than Georgia, the game last year was the only time that when the whole world thought that they were going to get blown out because they got their tails kicked against Michigan. Like, I don't think his teams are ever ready in these situations. And I look at him as the number one reason why. Like when they see bad teams, Ohio State's going to look good because of the scarlet letter and all that stuff, or the scarlet and gray that they got going on. But when they play other teams that recruit at their level, I see the flaws in Ryan Day, and I'm selling Ryan Day.
Who has more pressure as a head coach in this game? Franklin? Whew. Day's got a lot of pressure after having him blown out by Michigan 2 years in a row to win this game.
Well, and that's my whole point. Yeah. It's like, if you're Ohio State, I mean, because I've been in a situation, you know which games you've identified, you know which games you're doing extra work on in the offseason, even spring ball. But here's Penn State, and it's like, okay, rivalry where on their schedule? You know, big game. Obviously, Michigan's going to be a big game at that point. But if we get through Ohio State, then that Michigan game, I believe it's at home too, right?
Yeah, they're at home.
Mm-hmm. Woo! So everything gets bigger and bigger for a team that's on the rise. And that's why I think they get up for this one.
Yeah. I think Franklin, in this particular spot, I think Franklin has more pressure. Day's pressure comes when they play Michigan.
Right.
He can't have another bad game against Michigan. Otherwise, I think the boosters at Ohio State are going to be looking for somebody else.
Was that a bad game against Notre Dame?
I think it was.
Okay.
I think Notre Dame lost the game more so than Ohio State won it.
Right.
And that's what I mean with Ryan Day's, like, his, I mean, like, we saw the 10 players on the field and all that stuff. Like, Notre Dame absolutely bungled the end of that game. Ohio State just happened to walk through. And yeah, you credit them for taking advantage of the opportunity. But the Buckeyes did not seem like they were good in that game. Like, Notre Dame was the better team for 59 minutes and 30 seconds. And then the 30 seconds happened to where they lost the game. So we'll see what happens, though. Good luck to anyone out there that bet the Buckeyes. I don't see it, but I couldn't bet Penn State because I also see James Franklin in these big games as well. Let's go to Tuscaloosa, though. Tennessee, Bama. I know that you like Bama in this spot. There's some agreement here. We're up to 9 and 9.5 in some spots right now. Total 47.5.
Yeah, I like under. That was a real grinding game with Texas A&M. Tennessee can rush the passer. I think they can get to Milroe. And their offense is so different from last year with Hooker.
Yeah.
Right? How fast they played, how they moved the ball. They just haven't done it so far here this year. So I think Alabama wins this game, but I think this game is a 23-13, that kind of a game, 24-14, 24-10 kind of game that stays under this 48.
Yeah, and you know, we had Zach on earlier, and he talked about because it was at 9, now it's at 8.5, right? And then you know, looking at this game, wanting to bet it, because Alabama in the month of October outside the top 10, I don't know when's the last time that's happened, but Tennessee, their offense is different. You know, the players that they had executing this offense has now graduated to the National Football League, and so it just hasn't looked the same. But then Alabama hasn't looked the same. I think the mystique is off them too, you know, and I don't know, defensively, maybe you can rely on them in this game. I don't know if I want to lay 8.5, though, for Bama.
What about this interesting Pac-12 game? We haven't talked about it, and I don't know if nationally it's getting a whole lot of attention, but Washington State, Oregon. To me, this feels like a weird spot here for the Ducks coming off of the crushing loss against Washington. Now you have Utah on deck. Like, in a shootout game, like, I know that Washington State's kind of come back down to earth here, but I think this is a game where Cam Ward can really remind people of how good he is, and this Washington State offense might find some success.
Boy, it's 2 weeks in a row they did nothing.
They were two weeks
in a row. How good is Arizona? I'm looking at this Arizona team with the backup quarterback. Has been sensational.
Fafita? Yeah.
They should have beaten USC in the Coliseum, and they just trounced them on the Palouse last week.
They gave Washington problems, too.
Yes, they did. I mean, this is an interesting... This Fish, I think this Jed Fish is a very good coach. They had nothing when he got there. And, you know, and they took Mississippi State in Starkville to overtime earlier in the year, too. Anyhow, I'm not laying 20 off a deflating loss like that, but this is a really good... I was really impressed with Oregon. They lost the game. Yeah. I have a higher opinion of Oregon after having lost the game than I did before it.
Yeah. Bodacious.
I feel bad for you because they should have won that game.
Yeah, they should.
Lanning, what's he doing? He made three horrible decisions.
The end of the first half.
Why 4-yard line do you think you can do? And then at 6 seconds, okay, run a quick fade. Mm. Then you can still kick the field goal. They rolled him 30 yards. There were 9 defensive backs, it looked like, for Washington. The whole end zone was Husky standing. They had no shot on that. That was horrible. Then why don't you take the 3 when you're down to make it a 1-score game? And then I just didn't like the play calling at the end. 3rd and 2, dive into the middle of the line. 3rd and 2 is a spot where you could. 3rd and 2 is a spot where you could have rolled him out, had a run pass option. Mm-hmm. Then you're stuck. I don't hate the decision to go on 4th down. I hated the 3rd down play call. I was convinced they were running the last 7 minutes off the game. Yeah. Everything was looking that way.
I thought I was in good.
Yep.
I thought I was in good, and then I wasn't, and then they lost.
I just want to hit on this one real quickly. Duke at Florida State. More than a two touchdown. You know, Mike Elko's never lost a game by double digits at Duke. I know it's year two. They've been, I think 7 is the largest margin of loss. They played Notre Dame. They had the lead on Notre Dame. They played everybody close. I almost think you have to take the points in that spot. I know everybody's really high on Florida State. That's another team, though, that doesn't really play a whole 60 minutes at throttle. And he doesn't, though. He is, Norvell has taken this team. And if you notice, Pritch, their star players only get 30, 35 snaps a game. He's like keeping this team fresh for the big games down the stretch, although this is a huge one.
Yeah, I'm when I watch Florida State offensively, it doesn't like wow you, but they're just they feel like they have a lot of talent. And the defense is starting to kind of fix some things as well. It's
Mitch Moss asked this question. Does an undefeated ACC champ North Carolina get in over a one-loss SEC champ Alabama?
Oh, against Bama? No.
Nope.
An SEC champ?
Bama goes.
Bama would go before.
An SEC champ.
Yeah.
With a loss.
Yeah.
with a loss Bama to Texas yeah. over an undefeated ACC champ.
Bama goes.
You think so, huh?
Yep. But without hesitation.
Really?
Mm. I think.
Does a one loss Oregon team go before an undefeated North Carolina
no.
team?
No. No. it's levels to it.
I want to do something.
There is levels,
we need
yeah.
to get, we need to get a bet a week, the three of us.
Yeah.
We'll each put in 1,000 and we'll make a bet a week between 500 and 2,000 and we come up with a consensus bet. Right?
I'm down.
We'll okay. play Pritch's 1,000 first.
We'll see you guys next week.